ridiculous. I mean, it's so much trash going on around here that with the growth that we're trying to project into this county, and I show houses for a living. That's what I do. And people that are coming in here from out of town, that's the first thing they say. Look at all this trash around here. And do you have a dumping problem? And, you know, what do you say?
So this was the Santa Rosa County Commission on Tuesday. Kerry Smith there talking about it. And it's a problem. And Sam Parker, County Commissioner, says he gets more calls now than ever before about this. Dan Schebler, the county administrator, was talking about it. The road crews are not as available. They may not return at all in force down the road. So this is a problem in Santa Rosa County. It is certainly a problem in Escambia County. My wife and I go biking every weekend. We see it really bad in the rural areas, especially in Century. Oh, my God, Century, it's terrible. But all around the county, it's just this is an issue for in both counties. Joining us now, Janice Gilley is the Escambia County Administrator. Janice, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Do you view this as an increased problem or just the thing we're always dealing with? And what can be done, if anything, to make this better? Because I know you guys care about this a lot.
Yeah, we do. And Commissioner Bergosh has actually mentioned this from the dais on a couple of occasions, and it's been agreed to by the other commissioners for us to look at ways to increase enforcement of the current litter, you know, ordinances and statutes. I have a team that I call a strike team that I pulled together a couple of weeks ago, and we're working through how to improve relationships with Keep Pensacola Beautiful and Ferrovial Services that has the contract for the state to see how we can all partner together while they work on state roads and we work on county roads and our parks and things like that. You know, we still have our crews that have been out there. The only time we had a little bit of a shutdown was last July and August, you know, when we had to have them quarantined.
Yeah.
But for the most part, our folks have continued to pick up. And then we've actually added extra crews with West Marino and our Public Works Department where they take actual big trucks out and pick up, you know, where people have dumped mattresses and all kinds of other stuff in the roadway. Or, right, they make a call to the state, the appropriate body that manages the roadside. So I think I've said this before. You know, one of the things that I noticed about Louisiana many times, particularly after all the hurricanes, is how dirty Louisiana roadsides were. And I can tell you right now, I would say our communities are starting to kind of resemble that.
Yeah.
And I hope it's not because of the hurricanes, because I don't know, you know, if people just lost their way and decided that they're just going to keep dumping debris that has nothing to do with the hurricane on the side of the road. So we do have a strike team. We've met a couple of times. We're looking to, we've already gotten some prices, like I said, from Ferrovial and some other folks, and we're looking to see how we can expand our teams out on the ground and the county properties.
Yeah, and I mean, look, you and I both know that part of it is the dumping. Part of it is, you know, people throwing beer bottles and, you know, fast food and all that kind of out the window. And we also know that a clean roadside is the best discouragement against litter. A dirty roadside means who cares? It's already dirty, you know, and so I get that too. And mm-hmm. It's just it bothers me all the time, and I worry that it costs us visitors and economic development and obviously just having a pretty place to live. But anything we can do, and if there's anything I can help to pass this message along, you know, I will certainly do that. You've got a meeting.
Well, one of the things that you can do is encourage folks that have a pickup truck not to put trash in the back of their pickup truck. It is going to blow out.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. It's going to blow out. So
you assume that, you know, just because you put your arm in the back and you threw it in the trunk, guess what wind does? You know, it's obvious. So,
mm-hmm.
No, I totally agree with that. On the meeting agenda today, you got a bunch of stuff that's going to be really interesting to people. One of those things late in the meeting is you're going to talk about body cameras, the Escambia County Sheriff's Office request.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we put in there the information from the sheriff for his request on body cameras, what the cost it'll be to service those cameras in the upcoming years, and then in 2 years, the extra storage that they'll probably need, unfortunately, for all the, you know, video from the cameras, the multiple cameras that'll probably be on scene.
Do you have in front of you the number? What's the price tag that we're looking at on this?
The total ask is around $900,000. 250 of that is for the personnel to manage the system. $50,000 is for extra storage in the future. But the other thing is, these aren't just one-time cameras. I know that people are trying to compare them to GoPros. They're not GoPros. And they also, we have to buy like replacement parts and things like that. I mean, the sheriff has put together a good proposal.
Yeah, no, and that ongoing maintenance, because as we learned from PPD's experience, they break. You know, if people wearing a camera get into a scuffle, guess what happens to the camera? You know, I know the second generation and third generation are better, but still, I mean, that's always a concern as well. You've also got an issue on the agenda for the Bay Center requesting some additional funding, although I guess that's been negotiated down a little bit. The ask isn't quite as big as before. Is that right?
Yeah, they came to us and asked us for about $900,000, and we said no. And so we've been going back and forth with them on that. And listen, you know, our community has this wonderful love-hate relationship with our Civic Center. We love to hate it sometimes. But, you know, because of COVID, I would say the two reasons why the Civic Center has been open over the last 5 months has been because of hockey and the Sun Belt. And those aren't huge money generators for the Civic Center. You know, we need the things like Chicago and, you know, Elton John and Cher, you know, which we had to cancel Cher, that she canceled. You know, those are the money makers for a Civic Center, for an arena like that. And so it's just troubled times for them. We've been looking at their budget, and, you know, I'll be honest with you, it could come to the point where we have to close their doors for a couple of months. Not because we want to, but just because when there's not revenue being generated, it puts you in a difficult position.
Right. And I mean, that's obviously a sobering reality to be facing. But that was my question, too, is, look, if you can't hold the events, then at some point you just make the decision to wait it out. You know, obviously, if you're not running events, you're also not running as much cost in personnel and heating and cooling and all that kind of stuff, too. At least I assume so. And so maybe that's a side of it. But yeah, I mean, I hope it doesn't come to that. But, you know, we got to do the right thing financially. Another issue on the agenda today. This, to me, feels like the thank God finally moment that I think Lake Charlene, the Homeowners Association, finally approved granting you the easement to go in and maintain the solution for their flooding problem. Are we at that? Am I right to be thinking that we're at that point now?
Yeah, it does appear that two-thirds of the residents, HOA residents, did vote in favor of providing us the easement. And the construction for the drainage project is 100% design. That's the good news. And it does qualify for federal grants. So it looks like this community is going to have an opportunity to move forward with this solution for the drainage for them. I think this has been stalled, it looks like, for about 3 years based on some issues, you know, in the community. And so I think those have now been resolved. And, you know, the good news is this. I drove Lake Charlene after Sally, and it was just heartbreaking. I mean, there were many communities that were heartbreaking, but I know this one was particularly heartbreaking just because of what the residents had gone through previously in 2014.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I think this is a good solution, moving from the adjustable system to a fixed system that's going to overflow automatically and keep the flooding down to a minimum to the extent that it can be. I hate to say it, but I think the damage that they saw in Sally was a big motivating factor that said, no, we're not going to do this again. And, you know, again, fingers crossed, this should work. A lot of times you have there's also an issue on the putting three new firemen up at the Buell Fire Station number 3. That's right to move from. Mm-hmm. Is it, okay, pardon my ignorance, is it staffed with any full-timers now, or is it all volunteer? What's the situation?
No, it's all volunteer. Okay. But as you know, most volunteers have a day job. Right. And so we need to provide that, you know, extra support for them up there.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing that happen. You know, we know the growth in the area, so it obviously makes sense. A lot of times, Janice, you have a question for me. Do you have anything this week?
I do. So this is Women's History Month. Mm-hmm. And outside of your mother and your wife, who would you say has been? I'm going to give you the easy one. Who would you say has been a woman that has either impacted your life or is someone who you would say that you have looked up to?
The first go-to for me would be Kay Locker, who was my teacher in the 5th and 6th grade, who taught kind of what at the time would have been like your advanced English class. As a teacher, she had more influence on me than anybody else when I was growing up. And, you know, it taught me logic back when, you know, kids didn't learn logic in those days. Harry Stottlemyre is what they called it back in the day. And, you know, just taught us how to read, taught us how to write, gave us acting. All kinds of stuff that came out of that 2-year class that I had with her. So probably that's the quick one that comes. I'm sure I have other ones that would come, but that's the one that comes to mind. How about you?
Margaret Thatcher.
Oh,
I have.
Yeah.
Her, I have her biographies. I listen to her speech. I go back and I watch the old Question the PM, you know, that they had on C-SPAN. And just, it's she was an amazing woman.
And so, a proud
leader of her country.
A ferociously tactful female leader at a time when it was really even harder than today to be in that position. Yeah, no, that's a really great answer. I love that. Well, Janice Gilley, thank you so much for the time. As always, Escambia County Minister, we look forward to the meeting this morning at 9 o'clock.
Me too. Thank you. Y'all have a great week.